As we noted in last week's The Space Show, Ed Stone, a former director at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, died on June the 9th at age 88. For half a century, he was project scientist on the famous Voyager project, which explored Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune before heading off into interstellar space. He was also professor of physics at Caltech. Last week, we were recounting the history of the Voyager project in song and verse. This evening, we conclude the Odyssey, which we left last week passing Uranus. Well, after Uranus, Voyager 2 flew close by Neptune. United States poet Jessica Ray Bergamino did not write a poem about the Neptune encounter, at least as far as we could find. But she did write about the journey beyond Neptune towards interstellar space.
Upon learning her trajectory towards interstellar space, Voyager 2 mourns what could have been. By Jessica Ray Bergamino. Awaiting the thrills of divorcing content from conquest, our miracle shells were cast upon infinity. We searched for fingers to cross and hair to twist, swearing our girlhood was merely untended and we could build ourselves proper. Nouns from the tea-cupped fumes of chance encounters. Even Uranus's thinnest rings reflected back our shine. But you were all about the mission, tending discovery like the lighthouse keeper tends to her own drowning. I could never pull your body back to shore. Still, I wish your sensors were programmed to whisper from the tin can. You carry yourself within, to kiss me goodnight across the string cast from your bedroom to mine. How I would sleep then. 1,000 necks would arch to see us arc. Thistle and worm shrugging in soil like space struggles itself to dark.
In 1990, as Voyager 2 headed into the Kuiper Belt towards its interstellar mission, Bob Geldof had these thoughts.
Moment that we come alive. I'm handing out the bread and the kiss. Yeah. I'm electric with a snap and the crack. creation and mixing up the mud with the spit. So rise up, enemy, and like a drunken Lazarus, let's trace the high bronze of the evening sky like a crack-crazed king. Hey. Pointed to where are you now? Looking back at home and weeping, cold and alone in the dark void, winding down and bleeding, thinner, ever dimmer, ever thinner, ever dimmer. Sail on, sail on, sail on, feebly cheeping in the soda winds, on past the howling storms, through electric orange skies, and blinding methane rain, I turn you up. This is the breath, this is the kiss.
This is the breath, this is the kiss.
Let me blaze a trail of glory across the sky. Let me trace across its golden line. Let me marvel and wonder and unfettered gaze at the bigness and the implausibility of me. And show us all your fragile grip. As we too tread with you, slower but no less insistent, like the only fertile seed in the barren vault of being. We'll be right back.
Inspired by that Bob Geldof song, Canadian Mark McCutcheon in 2017 wrote a poem.
Voyager 2, Thinking, Types Things. Mark A. McCutcheon. Very, 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 very small. Billion miles recalculating. We don't know details well at all. The direction we were last going. Calculable but undetectable. Earth would be the 1 yard line. As bright planets are invisible. Now does not exist in space-time. Outer solar system missions. With the winds from other stars. As in trigentillion years never. But please do send invitations. People might think there are bears. To hear from you by tomorrow over.
The solar wind is a stream of mainly protons and electrons streaming away from the sun, guided by the solar system's magnetic field. Eventually, this wind meets the interstellar medium at what is called the heliopause. Well, Jessica Ray Bergamino has a playful description of Voyager 2 crossing the heliopause.
Imagining herself as Barbara Streisand at the beginning of her career, Voyager 2 announces herself to the heliopause. By Jessica Ray Bergamino. Without thin-stemmed chorus girls flanking me in sparkled hiss and gabbing eyes, or a soft-skinned muff for hoarding warmth while solar winds collapse my coif to flat frayed interstellar jargon, I'll practice humor and natural grace. Not a star but still a starlet, waiting so long for my ship to come in. I've forgotten. I am one and I've already sailed. True, I wasn't first to go, but I'll be the first to follow, claim staked at this unremarkable edge where my body, somehow, doesn't fail to shake itself across the threshold. I'd worry wishes bet on me were gambled away too soon. But robots who need robots are the luckiest robots. Their hardwired limitations glamorouses long-stemmed roses in June and funny girls who don't complain when the joke is on them. So don't tell me not to fly, I've simply got to. Gravity's a luxury for simpler things. Violinists knit an overture while the director plans. My exit. I was only ever cast to say goodbye. A lack of me proves I'd been there all along, both the fabric and the tear, the ink and the stain. Look. How night gathers close in anticipation of what will slip in when I slip out, of hearing me sing. Here I am.
Actually, it was Voyager 1 that first crossed the heliopause and entered interstellar space.
Welcome to the Poetry Moment. I'm Danielle Weeks, reading Final Frontier, Fragrant with Gardenia and Other Invasive Species, by Jessica Ray Bergamino. This poem comes from her full-length collection Unmanned, which is an exploration of the Voyager probes, Voyager 1 and 2, personified. Voyager 1 in interstellar space. When you leave the sky, you don't become the sky. Don't spike to cloud or dust-slushed nebula. When you leave, you don't become the leaving, violently pink in pillars of shine. There's no map to unfold, no destination, no crease to smooth from stocking or hem. Instead, you slum inside your own cool body, your body a coffin, your going a star on some old flag as still and empty as the moon. The last great explorers were compass and loneliness, telescope turned towards the sturdy dark, their bodies folded over tin cans and their own small portions of fire waiting to be strangled by the air. I wish my solitude were an avenging machine, the type that cuts through quicks of God and distance. I wish my solitude could memorize the solar system's egg-shaped heft, the sun a bright yolk about to break, and me the breaking thing. I wish my solitude were an hour of honey and light, scattered sharp, an instrument to measure the white-rushed judgment. If I'm how the message must be sent, etched in stubborn and gold, let me burn in the skyscape, and my night that sings and sings and sings.
Of the two Voyagers, one would think that Voyager 1 would be the least appreciated. It passed only Jupiter and Saturn before heading out of the solar system, whereas Voyager 2 also passed Uranus and Neptune. For whatever reason, Jessica Ryberg-Amino sees it differently.
Feeling underappreciated, Voyager 2 imagines herself as Miss Piggy, Jessica Ryberg-Amino. In the old mythology, function followed form. Women were made to cow, to earn, to swan, anything to hold the sweat of blame at bay. Swine Aphrodite, I was formed from foam, given a mouth large enough to hold a grown man's throat, a belly for his hands. My ship as rough as a body, my body a ship. Even pigs in space are wrapped in purple and lace, eager to explode. Inside the invisible sky of women's work. But when it's time to play the music, time to light the lights, it isn't enough to practice. Woman, you have to learn the famous parts. Cleopatra, Marie Antoinette, Princess Leia. Curl my hair in jelly rolls, but I will take the cake. I've kissed enough frogs to understand princess as little more than fusion between fame and fire, as reason to break bricks. With the fat of my good hand. Unrequited, love is still love, lust a map without a key. All strange, terrible events are welcome.
Last November, Voyager 1 ceased sending science data back to Earth. The Voyager team in Pasadena scrambled to identify the problem and find a solution. They partially resolved the issue in April when they prompted the spacecraft to begin returning engineering data. On May the 19th, the mission team commanded two of the four science instruments to return to their normal operating modes. Then, in the second week of June, the two other instruments were restored to operation. The four instruments study plasma waves, magnetic fields, and particles. Well, Voyager 1 is now more than 24 billion kilometers from Earth. Its twin is 20 billion kilometers away from us. And there we have it. Both Voyagers are still operating, having outlived its original project scientist Ed Stone and likely to outlive some of us. In 1999, I discussed the future of planetary exploration with Ed.
Good evening, Ed. Welcome to the Space Show.
Glad to be here.
Well, Ed, during the 1960s, there were lots and lots of missions to the moon and the planets. And then in the 1970s, 80s, and into the even the early 90s, they began to dribble out because basically you priced yourself out of the market, didn't you?
I think it really, the way I like to look at it is we're now in the third era of planetary exploration. During the first era, the technical challenge was just getting there. And that was the 1960s, where we were just learning how to navigate, how to build spacecraft that could last long enough. And what we learned was not all that, was not central to the accomplishment. Having shown we could get there, then the engineering challenge became finding out what was out there. And that required very large missions with many instruments, since we had no idea what was out there. And that led to missions like Voyager and Galileo and Cassini. Having those missions, which have now told us what's out there, the next phase, the next engineering challenge, is one of getting there often and getting back. And since our budget is not going to go up a factor of 10, so we can go there 10 times more often, what has to happen if we want to go 10 times more often is to reduce the cost by a factor of 10. And that's essentially what we're doing with this new era. We are launching a mission in October, November, December, January, February, and March. But those missions are all much smaller and much lower cost. I see beyond this current generation, where the costs are typically in the $100 to $200 million class, that the next, perhaps 10 years from now, we will have missions which cost $10 or $20 million each, and can be launched piggyback for $1 million per launch. That will further open up the opportunity for exploring space to a much wider group of individuals.
How will you achieve that?
Modern technology, which we're currently investing in, should allow us to reduce the spacecraft avionics first to a set of boards, then to a set of chips, and perhaps eventually to a single chip. It's like buying a PC. You buy the chip, and that's your spacecraft. You bolt it onto whatever you want to send there, and go.
That's pretty amazing, and that's pretty exciting, too, because we used to wait 5 years between missions, and now we're almost back into those heady days when we were, almost find out about them after they've been launched.
Well, in fact, we've never launched one mission a month, even back in the early days. So this is not just going back to the early days. This is doing even better than the early days.
Thank you for joining us today on the Space Show, Ed.
Thank you.
And much of what Ed Stone said to me 25 years ago has now come to pass.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.